And we're live with another episode of the Trilzarian Show. I've got my good friend and training partner, Blake Hale. Blake Hale in the house.
Blake Flake Flame!
He's going to talk to us a little bit today about all of the awesome stuff that he's got going on. Let's start out just with a little bit of background on you, Blake.
All right, man. I'm from Oklahoma City. Born and raised here. Grew up, went to high school, middle school, elementary school all here, so... wrestled growing up after I got through in high school. I went to college for a year. Then straight from there, I decided that I needed a way to pay for college. And then I went straight in the military from there. Decided once I got out of the military that it's kind of more of what I wanted to do instead of the college route. So I've been doing that. And before I went to the military, I transitioned from wrestling to jiu-jitsu and MMA and started training at OMA with you. Yep. Back then, I was 805 back in the day, so that's pretty much where I came from.
That's a good overview. Awesome. So, how long have you been in the military?
I've been in 5 years now.
You've met some big people, I would imagine.
Yeah, no. So, since I've been in the military, I've tried to deploy. That was my goal, is to deploy for the whole time I've been in, and. I didn't really get that opportunity very much. I was a pretty frustrating thing for me. Mm-hmm. And I just got an opportunity maybe at the end of last year. We went to Ukraine. And we got to meet some, I got to meet a lot of cool guys there. One of my main buddies there, his name is Jackson. He is a chemical engineer out in Houston. Mm-hmm. A really good buddy of mine. He's a scout in the 179, my battalion. He's a really smart dude. Learned a lot from him. And I've kind of been blessed in the military with great leadership. The culture out there is amazing. Definitely like to drink. Vodka, obviously. Their beer is really strong. It's like 14% beer they have out there. So it's definitely an experience, man. That's something I definitely found I enjoy doing is just absorbing culture wherever I go. You know what I mean? Getting that experience from people and just, you know, shaking hands and meeting new people, you know?
Absolutely. Absolutely, that's very cool, man. So, you're about to take another deployment, correct?
Yes, correct. So, when I was in Ukraine, they were taking lists for a deployment going to Afghanistan, and I didn't make that original list, and I was pretty frustrated. So, I started going through the channels in the military, and I had to fight pretty hard. They told me no about three times, and finally I played the right angle, and Get on this deployment. So
I love it. Yeah, don't take no for an answer.
Mm-hmm.
Can do attitude.
Absolutely.
Yep. Awesome. Well, what are like some of your goals, or like what are some of the things you hope to accomplish while you're overseas?
So my goal in the military has always been I'm infantry. So how I explain it to people is there's a lot of jobs in the military where you can kind of translate that in civilian life. And you have truck drivers, you have, you know, doctors, things like that, where you can come directly from the military, plug that into civilian life, and start a career that way. Infantry's not that way, right? You can't shoot people in civilian world, and sure. You know, everybody's like, hey, yeah, this dude's cool. Thank you for that.
This is normal.
Yeah, this is exactly. So my goal has always been to go somewhere where I'm going to be tested in what I know. So I explain it to people, is like, imagine if you got trained for X amount of years to do this job, and you never got a chance to actually do that job.
Yeah.
So that's been my goal in the military, is to get somewhere where that is likely, where I can, you know, use my skills and see who's right. I believe, you know, 99.9% out of any occasion I get in, you know, and if I were ever happen to get in any kind of gunfight over and on deployment, that I would, you know, make it out, and I wanna. I'm the type of person that will see if I'm right or wrong. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I'll definitely be praying for you, thinking about you while you're over there. I know you've got a good head on your shoulders, so I don't see you running into any problems that you won't be able to handle, just like you said. I feel like a lot of that comes with having a jiu-jitsu mind state, or like a martial artist mind state, you know?
Absolutely.
Any situation that you encounter, you'll be able to control at least most of the variables to... produce the outcome that you hope for.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a cool thing that jiu-jitsu kind of brings in that mind state. And I'm sure paired with military training, you have a just supreme level of comp goes.
Absolutely. I think you asked me about Ukraine earlier. Something I really realized in Ukraine, we had a lot of downtime to kind of focus on our life when we got back and the things we needed to do from there. And I think I learned a great deal about seeing things, going after those things relentlessly. Mm-hmm. I believe in visualization a lot. Yeah. I think that's it's a huge thing in people's lives. And people don't really do. They see the things that they want, and they rather don't go after them. They see them as too big, or they see the things they want, and you know, they want them, and they act like, you know, they want them, but then they get busy and they don't make sacrifices for what they want. And I believe that, you know, you visualize it, part of the martial art mind state, and that's a part of the military mind state as well, a little bit. But mostly, I feel like the martial arts background has helped me tremendously in my military career.
Absolutely. I think visualization is a huge key for any successful person.
Mm-hmm.
If you see something that you want, you have to almost fake it until you make it, you know?
Absolutely.
You have to kind of, like, tell yourself, I can make it here mm-hmm. if I do X, Y, and Z, and take those steps, which I think a lot of people aren't willing to do, like you said. So, do you have any specific things that you could say that you visualize? Like, maybe you had mentioned that you hadn't been able to be deployed, and that was kind of a frustrating thing for you, so I would imagine you had to visualize and do some of that same type of thing for that to get where you wanted to go.
No, yeah, absolutely. So with this mission I'm going on now, like I said, when I got back originally, I didn't want to go on this mission to start off, and then I heard kind of more so what the mission would entail and what they needed, and I thought, man, this is perfect for me. This is exactly what I've been doing my whole military career. But yeah, I got back, and I immediately started visualizing me going on this mission, and I knew this is what I wanted to do, and I pushed for it hard. I went through several channels. I called different people that I've met in the military to use my connections, and I got told no several times, and I fought hard. Well, they have what's called a 10% list in the military, which is leading up to your deployment, you have to go through all these check the block type training and all these medical events. A lot of people would, you know, fall out, you know, family emergencies, you know, death in the family, something like that, where they have to leave. It's mm-hmm. very imperative for them to leave. Yeah. So they use that 10% list to fill those vacancies. So I ended up on that 10% list, and one of my buddies, he actually ended up making it on the actual list. Me and him ended up on the 10% list at the same time. And he decided he didn't want to go because of his daughter that he recently had. And I told him I'd go for him, and then I pushed for that through a channel that I had already established from Ukraine,
mm-hmm.
And then he passed it up, and I got the word that I was gonna be able to go.
So awesome!
I feel like visualization really helped me with that. I feel like if I would have been pushing forward and seeing it as something that is possible, mm-hmm. no matter how many times I hear the answer no, and figuring out the ways to approach it, the angles to play, that it probably would have not happened for me.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you have, like, a specific process of visualization? Because I know, like, whenever I'm for a jiu-jitsu match, I'll visualize the same sequence
mm-hmm.
over and over with only a successful outcome. Mm-hmm. And then I'll visualize all the way from, like, the beginning of the match, from the slap and dap, all the
sure.
way to me getting my hand raised.
Absolutely. So for me, it's kind of the same thing, except if it's jiu-jitsu, I'm kind of that same way. But if it's something more specific to that's more vague or general to life, I kind of start off by visualizing, you know, what it is that I want. So for me, let's say it was the Afghanistan thing again, right? Mm-hmm. So I visualized me going, you know, made that a reality in my head. This is happening. This is going to happen. And then I started, in the military, we use what's called backwards planning. So you plan from the back to when you would start from. So when you do that, you can kind of see the main steps that you need to take to make something happen. You know, so I visualized it and I started planning backwards. Okay, I need to do A, B, and C. I need to do D, right? And then when those wouldn't work, I'd have a plan for those to go ahead and get through. But even I think the biggest part about visualization is not only visualizing it when it's not happening or when it's convenient for you, but it's being able to visualize it in the hard times and in the moment to where this is what you want, and pretending as if, you know, things are good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm good here. It sucks right now, but I got a goal, and I'm going to meet this goal no matter what happens to me, and it's going to be good. It's going to be good in the end. I think that's a big key that people would miss. You know, they get told no, or there's a hump in the road, or there's a small point to where it doesn't look likely, and they get down. They say, okay, this isn't going to happen. It's too big for me. This is too hard. I can't do it. but it, there's these little tasks that if you continue to knock away at, that tree's going to fall regardless. So,
absolutely.
I think that's the thing that helps me the most, is knowing that it doesn't matter how hard or big or small it is. If you meet these certain steps each day and every day, then everything else will take care of itself.
For sure. So you almost have to make like a day-by-day process.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you're feeling really motivated that day or whether you're feeling like shit that day,
mm-hmm.
you're going to remind yourself that this is the outcome that I want and this is what I'm going to do to get there. So that almost becomes like a ritual, like almost part of your day-to-day function. So would you talk a little bit about like your daily routine and how you go through that and you fit in this process of visualization in your day-to-day process?
Absolutely. So especially right now, we're getting ready to deploy. So things get pretty difficult. Information changes all the time. You're on a schedule that's pretty hectic. Even when there's downtime, there's things happening that you didn't expect. Things got to get done. You got to meet these certain time hacks, all that. So as long as you know the end goal to what is going on, then you know, okay, hey, if this is what I need to get done, then this is what I need to do. And you start backwards planning, like I talked about earlier. You start thinking, okay, this is the end goal. How do I get to this end goal? And you start thinking back from that top down, right?
Yeah.
Okay, this is the second top down goal. This is below that, it's below that, it's below that. And you go all the way to the bottom, and then everything's already planned out for you. You know, okay, hey, I need to do A before I do C, I need to do B before I do whatever. And it doesn't have to be in order. You can knock them out separately.
Mm-hmm.
I read a book not long ago. I can't remember the title right now, but I'll find it for you in a second. But they talked about doing the hardest task first, so that way everything else is easy from there.
Mm, I like that.
So I heard a lot about people always say, do the easier tasks, and then you leave that one hard task first. Well, if you do the hard task first, then everything after that, you know it's going to be easy.
Sure.
And you know that no matter what else you have to do for this to get done, the hardest part's over.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like once I figured that out, once the hard task is done, everything else is easy. They can't do anything to you. You can't do anything to yourself because you know that the hardest thing that took to get whatever you need done is already done.
Yeah.
So just go down from there.
I love it. So at that point, it's really all downhill from that point. You've already gotten the big, scary part of the mission done, or whatever the case may be.
Absolutely.
So another thing that I'm curious about is like how your daily routine, when you're here, like kind of contrasts from your daily routine when you're on deployment.
Absolutely, sure. So when we were in Ukraine, we still had a lot of downtime, but we were very rarely alone. We lived in a barracks full of people. There really weren't any walls. There were just spacers dividing us. So you kind of hear everything that's going on. So you could get some alone time as you go into your bunk and chilling out. But then when you're ready, you came out and, you wanted to see somebody. You walk 2 feet and there's a dude standing next to you. You say, hey, what's up, man? Like, what are you doing? You get this, whatever going on. You start, bullshitting. And then before you know it, it's time to go to bed. And you wake up and whatever your mission is the next day, you do that. So, and I also feel like in the military, it's a lot more fast-paced. Everything is fast-paced. And everything you do builds to something else, right? So if you have a mission today, that mission is probably important for the mission tomorrow, right? It all builds and culminates, and then you start it over.
Mm-hmm.
Coming back from a deployment, it's kind of weird. Things are a lot slower in civilian life. You kind of got to force yourself to find certain tasks to do to keep yourself busy.
Yeah.
It's a lot slower. People move at a different speed as far as when it comes time to get things done. There's not that, generally you don't have that same camaraderie with the people around you.
Yeah.
Because in the military, things suck. Things are bad,
uh-huh.
generally a lot, especially on the lower enlisted side, even on the, non-commissioned officer side. Things change rapidly. It's not necessarily in your control. So you just got to kind of adapt and overcome all these things. Now, when you come back, you don't have that same group of people around you that you went through, this shitty situation with. And I truly believe that if you're in a shitty situation with people, a group of people for long enough, that bond that you create there is going to be almost irreplaceable. You're going to make friends for life and certain things like that. So when you come back, you may have friends or whatever, and you may feel distant from these people because you don't have that same suck connection that you had with these people over there, that you know that they have your back always and things like that. And I think that's something that people... who have especially been on combat deployments deal with more than anything is is that bond that you make when you're on a deployment, especially in a combat deployment, that's almost, it's lost in the civilian world. You know, people are always, you know, to themselves, you know, it's hard to connect with people, but in the military, it's really easy because you're always with someone. Yeah. You're always with someone. So I think that's the biggest, weirdest thing coming back from a deployment, and the pace of life is different. You find yourself bored a lot, pacing around, well, what am I doing now? You know, right. So I think that's the biggest differences from what I've seen in my experience.
Yeah. So would you say that, like, having a jiu-jitsu team or, like, a group of people kind of like that, maybe something similar? It may not be, like, the obviously not the same level of suck by any means. Do you find, like, that same connection with your training partners, maybe, like, trying to simulate murder with each other every day, maybe come somewhere in the same realm of that camaraderie?
No, absolutely. So, like I said, I think any situation you guys go through where something sucks or is bad or difficult, the bond you build with them is it's irreplaceable. And that's the same thing you find on wrestling teams or jiu-jitsu teams or anything like that. So I was a wrestler, as I touched on before. We get that same camaraderie. I mean, obviously we're cutting weight, you know, 20, 25 plus pounds. None of us are eating. And that camaraderie there was irreplaceable at the time. I mean, you move forward to jiu-jitsu, now you're talking, you know, how we roll, you know, 10-minute rounds, 2-3 times a week. You know, we're constantly grinding, constantly in there. And so those relationships become, you know, just as important and just as irreplaceable. Like I said, I believe, you know, being in that shitty situation with people like that, where you have to push yourself and grow and together, those relationships are going to be strong no matter what, whether it's civilian side or it's military side. I believe that struggle creates growth. So if you have to struggle for something, whether it be as a team and or as a you know, as a unit, either one, it's great. It's that bond is still going to be the same, I feel.
Nice. So. Yeah, definitely. So would you recommend, like, trying a team sport like jiu-jitsu or something for people that are getting out of the military and looking for that camaraderie?
Absolutely. I think that's an important part. I think military men are typically some of the more egotistical, hard-headed type men that you'll ever meet. Like, I'm a man, I'm a manly man, nothing's wrong with me.
Yeah.
And I think the jiu-jitsu side of things kind of negates that. I think when you play like a game of death that we play, I mean, let's be honest, if there were no refs or no one can tap out, we'd all be dead. You know what I mean? So, and that's, if you look at it like that, then ego kind of starts fading away because you start realizing, you know, what is what. You start realizing this person can kill me, you know, and you start realizing that it's not about being the more manly man in the room, it's more being the more skilled man in the room and movement oriented, and it starts to change your the dynamic on how you train in life, whether it be lifting weights or how you approach situation where it might be an altercation with someone, and all that changes. So definitely for military men getting out of the military, still in the military, who want that same camaraderie that they had before, and also want to grow and change and be better on the civilian side from the struggles they occurred over there, that would be perfect for them.
Yeah. So all of our military, either former or current, military enlisted men, definitely look into some form of jiu-jitsu or martial arts if you're getting out and feeling those, like, same feelings that Blake was talking about, maybe feeling a little bit lonely or, like, you don't have that same pace in your life, like there's not as much going on, or you're looking for something to do, come train jiu-jitsu, you know? Come take your mind off of everything for at least a couple of hours on the mat. There's really, kind of like Blake said, there's a very strong sense of community whenever you're simulating murder with someone every day and basically trying to kill each other without hurting each other enough to where you can't train together tomorrow. So I think that's a huge thing, and hopefully that's a good takeaway for any of our vets or currently enlisted military people, because we so appreciate y'all. I can't train jiu-jitsu, I can't do any of that stuff if we don't have our freedom, so big shout out to all of our military members. Thank you all so much. Thank you, Blake, for doing what you do, keeping us safe. Really, thanks doesn't go far enough, but you know, we sure appreciate everything that you guys do for us. How long actually have you trained jiu-jitsu? You said for probably coming up on 6-7 years.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird. It's kind of hard to put an actual number on it.
Sure.
So when I got out of high school, I met like one of my really, really good friends, almost like a mentor to me. His name's Shanks, Justin Shanks. Mm-hmm. He was used to be my my assistant coach my senior year in wrestling. He reached out, me and him started our relationship outside of school, our friendship, and he told me, hey, listen, we have a another coaching spot on the wrestling team. If you want it, you can be yours. So I told him I did. So after practice, he started asking me, hey, do you want to roll? And I was like, well, I've never done that before. He's like, well, do you mean to teach you or do you just want to jump right in? I'm like, let me just jump right in this thing. Mm-hmm. So I started jumping in, and that's where it led. After that, he took me to what became OMA later, 805. Uh-huh. And that's where I originally first started training jiu-jitsu right there.
Yeah.
So that was in 2010, originally, when I first started training. Now, I've had a lot of off and ons throughout my jiu-jitsu time. So if I had to put a number on it, considering all the off and ons, I would say 6-7 years is probably pretty accurate.
Yeah. Awesome. So yeah, me and Blake have trained together for that whole time. I've never trained anywhere else aside from 805 and OMA. So yeah, we've spent countless hours on the mat together trying to choke each other and break each other's limbs. Blake is, one of my closest friends, so it's really awesome to have him on the show, especially before he leaves for 9 months. He's going to be gone for quite a while, so I'll probably be listening to this podcast and crying myself to sleep whenever he's gone, but it'll make the pain just a little bit less. And I'll call him every 5 minutes, so it'll be fine. You had mentioned to me before the podcast that you also had some goals for like MMA after you maybe get out of the military or whatever. So
my goal has always been to fight. Like, that's always been my dream. My dream is to fight and do that. Jiu-jitsu, I think, is a huge part of fighting. It's a huge part of MMA. Like, you can't be in MMA and not do jiu-jitsu, especially at the highest level. That's something I've always strived for. And now, when I came back from Ukraine originally, before this whole other deployment came along, I thought, hey, when I get back, I'm just going to devote myself to training and, see where I can take it as far as MMA goes. Uh-huh. And then this deployment came up, this opportunity came up. And I thought I couldn't deny this opportunity. I got to make it happen. So I did. So my goal is to eventually, see where MMA takes me, see where my journey lies in that. I think my skill set as far as MMA and jiu-jitsu, that's where my skill set is best at, is MMA, where strikes and grappling and all that are considered. I think the biggest thing for me, I feel skilled enough to do it, but I feel like my mind is more different than most people's. I've studied MMA for a long time. I know the ins and outs without even having to be in there, but I think being in there is the biggest part, the biggest test. So I think your mind and your body have to be connected, and that happens through jiu-jitsu and through countless hours of training.
Yeah.
So I think that's ultimately my goal, is to see, once I'm satisfied, once I get to go over there and do what I want on the deployment side of the military, once I get my fill of that, then my goal is to see where MMA can take me.
Awesome. So what kind of MMA goals do you have? Like, are we looking at a couple of pro fights, or a couple of amateur fights, maybe looking as far as going to the UFC?
My goal would be to make it, obviously, to the UFC.
Uh-huh.
That's where I visualize myself being, and I believe I can make it there. But that's also dependent on my body and my injuries and things like that. There's been countless of people who were talented and skilled and had the mind to make it, but their bodies failed them.
Sure.
I think my body should hold up very well. I think I've trained it long enough to know how the right way to train, and that. But my goal would be to make it to the UFC, and take over that division, whatever division I would so choose to be in.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Very cool. Yeah, I really like your goals. I think the style of jiu-jitsu and wrestling that you have will transition beautifully to MMA, because the way you set your takedowns up, the way you use your jiu-jitsu, having those strikes be available is just going to open up all of your submissions and open up your positioning. So I think that's a really smart goal for you. I think that's a really good next step in the journey for you after you finish and get, like you said, get your fill of what the military has to offer. So the cool ways to break people's legs and shoot people's faces that I've been working on.
Tell me out on the regular.
That's not true. We actually just rolled tonight, and I didn't ever catch Blake, but he ankle locked the fuck
out. You got a lot of these people. You got a lot of these people. Tap me out twice.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm sure they were both heel hooks, which is basically cheating for me because I trade heel hooks all the time, and no one else really plays with them as much. But he got me with a nasty ankle lock, and it was gangster. And I'm going to write about it in my diary later so that it never happens again. But yeah, that's a really good goal. I'm super stoked for you. I'm curious. I had asked a little bit about the daily routine, and I was just curious, like, some of the difference, like, are you going to have to wake up earlier in the morning for whenever you're over there? Are you going to be, like, what are some of the differences in that, like, daily routine from civilian life to military life?
So that's all mission dependent, as far as overseas goes. You know, whatever the mission calls for, you could have a mission that calls for, 24-hour ops. You could have be up for 24 hours at a time. It depends on the mission. I think the mission that we have here, leading up to this, what I can, assume, I don't know for sure yet without being over there, but I can assume that there'll be time for, decent amount of sleep. I'm sure that we will have those opportunities to where we're running off of, 2 hours to zero sleep.
Wow.
I know on the train up for this, we had a week where I think we got 8 hours of sleep for a week. We did, 24 hour op one time, and we woke up the next day 2 hours later. So,
wow.
It's just all mission dependent. Whatever the mission calls for. The biggest part is if we're patrolling or if we're doing anything like that over there, which seems unlikely for our mission set, that we could be, stuck in this position for, anywhere from a week to a month, depending on what happens over there. But I think the biggest difference from our daily routine here and our daily routine there is there's a lot of times where there's nothing going on here.
Uh-huh.
There's always going to be something going on, whether it be training or us or the ANA, Afghanistan Army, or it be, us, doing whatever. There's always something going on. Weapons, maintenance, something. There's always something to be done. And I think that's the biggest difference. Like I said before, that's the biggest difference is that everything mounts to something like over there. Everything's building to something. Once that goal's done, then it's on to the next. So I think that's going to be the biggest difference day to day. So
uh-huh.
That's going to be kind of cool to see. Something I've never done, and I'm looking forward to do, definitely.
Sure.
So I think those are the biggest differences there.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm sure you're going to have all kinds of awesome experiences to tell us about whenever you get back, Super excited for you to have this opportunity, and I know you'll make the most of it. Feels like now is a pretty good time to start wrapping it up. Thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely.
Really had a good time talking with you and drinking some whiskey.
Hey.
I'm actually pretending to drink whiskey because I'm such a pussy. Blake is like this badass over here with the dip in and still drinking whiskey. I don't know how he does that. It's quite the talent. definitely enjoyed our time together.
Absolutely.
And like I said, I'll be able to listen to this. You guys that are missing Blake, we'll be able to listen to this while he's gone.
Hey.
He'll be back to us in a matter of months, though, and we'll be able to go back to trying to choke him and get him ready to go into the cage.
There so
I think that's everything, man. Thank you all so much for helping me do what I like to do. I think that's everything, guys. Thank you all so much for tuning in. Good night and good luck.
Troy!
My back! Mike, my back!
Troy! My back hurts!
Whatever will you do about that?
Do you know who I can call?
I know just the guy. Dr. Jeff Hijazi at Back to Wellness Chiropractic. Go see him and he'll help you out. That's all, folks.
Omay!
Oklahoma Martial Arts Academy. The academy that I've trained at for the past 7 years with Professor Seth Norman. I've learned everything from striking, jiu-jitsu, the blend of the two for MMA, and the ability to teach and coach classes. invaluable experience there with a great community. If you're looking for a martial arts experience, look no further. Next, I would like to shout out the Fight to Win crew, Team No Sleep. Thank you all so much for everything you do to promote jiu-jitsu, putting on one of the best shows, in my opinion, in the jiu-jitsu world. Be tuned in on Flow Grappling, November 17th, to watch me take the title belt in Denver, Colorado.
Hey!
The 155 Purple Belt No-Gi title. I'll be fighting James Mikus and breaking his leg or choking his face. We'll see what happens. Last but not least, I'd like to shout out my strength and conditioning coach, Luke Tyree, at Green Strength. They're located on Lincoln and 145th in the ARC facility. All of your strength and conditioning needs can be met there. They have some of the most highly trained strength and conditioning coaches in the state. I highly recommend this for any athlete that's looking to better themselves and shorten their recovery time. The workouts that they have us doing are based on science. They just made it happen. Well, Blake will make fun of me if I don't.
Not in front of him, at least.
Yeah,
behind him.
As long as it's behind this dude, Troy, get finish a glass of whiskey.
He took like two sips.
He'll come back after a year and go, hey, you still sipping on that?
Yes, and I probably will be.
He just carries around with him at the gym.
Yeah, exactly. While I'm rolling.
It's a smoking jacket. Cigar that he never lights.
Oh, I can pull it off.
He's there.
Definitely.
You can throw a fucking straw.
That's what you gotta do.
So it's the technique so that he can dip while he drinks.
You know, I got whiskey cubes.
I was admiring it.
Whiskey cubes?
Yeah. So they're, or stones, whatever. Please. No?
They're stones.
So they're frozen stones.
Okay. I'm listening.
So when you put them in your whiskey, it doesn't dilute it down like his.
Oh.
That is cool.
That's nifty.
That's very nifty.
It's like the Jell-O shots, but if the Jell-O was also vodka.
It's nothing like Jell-O shots. What? What are you saying?
I'm saying, so if you made Jell-O shots out of like Jell-O vodka, right, and you put vodka in already that Jell-O vodka,
how are you gonna put Jell-O in Jell-O?
How do you freeze? You know,
stones.
How do you freeze stones? Yeah.
You stick them in the microwave. Wait.
You stick them in the microwave. Okay, that's cool. So learn something new. You learn something new.
It's all good every day.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I told you guys I'm going to bring you value. Now you know to freeze stones.
I thought
put that shit in the microwave.
I thought you would put them in the freezer
here first.
That's what I would think. But apparently, the microwave is the way to go.
It is.
And so many freezers to put things in. Look, I feel like I've been drinking. You guys have been talking.
Of course.
I just sit in the back.
Mm-hmm.
And
drink.
And drink. That's my job.
Impressive.
And I fix the volume.
There you go. Well, you're really good at your job.
Yeah, you did it.
I mean, I try.
Job done, right?
Right.
Don't say that yet. We haven't released it. But
it's okay.
So,
cheers to another awesome podcast.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
Yeah, thank you.
Pleasure.
With your fucking straw.
Mm-hmm.
That's recorded.
I took a big boy drink that time.
You did. I seen it.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Well, this equates to like this much whiskey, so I shouldn't be drunk after this.
There was not that much in there. Yeah, you put a lot of water.
I put this much whiskey and like that much water and then 4 ice cubes, so.
Should be good.
Yeah, I think it's like 98% water and 2% whiskey.
Do you leave in the morning?
Yeah, I might just stay up. I'll probably both. If I'm honest.
Yeah.
Get some traveling hookers. I don't know if that's a thing. It should
traveling
be
traveling hookers.
Yeah.
But on the go. You know,
like Uber for hookers.
You know, like that scene on the Hangover where they're throwing the suits to each other.
Wait, what?
Yeah. The scene on the Hangover, the first one. They're driving and the people pass them in the van. They throw them their suits and they start putting them on. And it's like that except with hookers. So they throw me suits, you know.
That is genius.
Throw me some hookers out the window.
Hopefully you don't drop any.
Hopefully not. I mean, that'd be a pretty steep deposit.
It'd be all right.
I'd imagine.
Do they have deposits?
I'd imagine for that. I'd imagine.
You have to pay up front.
That's a pretty risky business.
We'll finish when you do.
Exactly.
Oh, there you go.
That's the slogan. So I don't remember who I was talking this to, but they were talking about people wanting, you know, like cats or kittens for like only like a week or two, and then they become kind of like old, like, oh, we gotta change the litter box now, whatever, right?
Yeah.
So rent a cat could be a thing.
Oh my goodness.
Or a kitten, like, especially a kitten, right? Yeah. Rent a kitten. You get a kitten for like 2 days, and you're like, all right, I want to take care of it.
I'm tired of it.
It goes back to the whoever, and they rent out someone else.
I feel like I know people in my immediate family that would subscribe to this.
That's what I'm saying.
Right? Yeah, I mean,
like,
how's that not a thing yet?
What pooper describes my outfit?
Hey.
Right.
I feel like right now I'd be a sheepdog.
Okay. Oh, but I like that. I want like a Doberman for right now. That's how I feel whenever I drink
Doberman?
Whiskey. Yeah. Feels like pushed up right
here. A bull terrier.
Oh. I remember.
Bull terrier.
There you go.
Like the Target dog?
Right.
It's like, you want to go lift me? It's my gym dog.
Actually, that's my bitch. You're on it.
When you're out picking up chicks, it's a Yorkie.
Oh, there you go.
Right?
Can I pet your dog? Yeah.
Yes, bitch, you can.
You can. Please pet my dog. Please pet my dog. See what else you can pet later.
Exactly. I was going to say it, and I didn't say it, but I'm glad that
I had to say it. I feel like that's where I was going.
It was. You know what I mean? That was literally the next thing in my mind, but I was like...
Block it.
Anytime we have to do any mission, like at all, in a truck or anything, the song I played right before is... I Want It That Way by the Backstreet Boys.
Oh, yes. That's beautiful.
Yep.
Do you guys break out in song?
I typically try to make most of the people.
Tell me why.
You sing like that. People.
Yes. Oh, I could get it.
Tell me why.
Yep. That's
yep,
the one.
Whole thing.
Exactly. Typically, at
you
first.
You guys start unbuttoning stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, snap.
So it's like just slightly, keeping just enough hidden. The imagination wonders.
Keep
yeah.
It fresh.
Yeah, you gotta keep guessing more. What's going on.
It starts raining all of a sudden.
Yeah, and you're just out in the rain. Yep, that's what it is.
That is too good.
No, you don't. You
I
do?
I swear to God, yeah.
That's awesome.
That's what I do.
That is fantastic.
That's right? The song. When I was
keep the mood light.
When I was originally in my first unit, the main one I came from 4.5 years, I had a Sergeant Dimwitty, and he told me when he was in Afghanistan that was the song that they played every time before they went out on like a mission in Afghanistan. So I just took it and ran with it every time I do something now in the military. It's my bad.
Ooh,
yeah, I don't want no problems in your house, you know what I mean? You're throwing me across the room.
There's not too many places
to go. You never know.
There's not. I can't run.
I'm sorry, I drank your drink.
No, I'm glad you did.
Holy fuck, it's gone.
Yeah, no. I'm glad you did.
Magic.
I didn't even notice. I didn't even notice either.
I
didn't
have to go to work tomorrow.
It was me.
On the fucking floor. You did good. It was good.
Did I do good? I just try to be open and honest as possible.
It was great, dude. Do you. That's all this is.
Yeah, all this is just to, like, capture the awesome personalities of my life, you know?
I feel like you gotta have a pretty big personality to have a mustache.
That's true.
So.
Look, all right.
That is a fact.
I will put this, if nothing of what we were talking about, I will put this in the podcast.
This is the podcast.
Your mustache is fantastic.
I'm so glad somebody else appreciates it.
It's fucking fantastic.
Okay, look. Drinks are done.
All right. Thank you all so much for joining us for another episode of the Trilzarian Show.